Chapter 5. Most of the Great War casualties were coming back with great damage done to their faces and upper torsos, the first parts of themselves available to be destroyed when they came up over the top of the trenches. I had seen only a few of those who had recuperated enough to be out in the world again. Although the disfigured man was not young, his injuries said he had been in France. But when we disembarked in Raleigh, I overheard him tell several veterans who greeted him as though he was one of their own, "Thank you, but it was a pint of carbolic acid chunked at me in 1888. He invited them to go enjoy a glass of steam beer with him, but they said they had to make a living, although they did appreciate it. They were pushing trunks and carrying bags, which some of them could not manage. The more able men stepped forward and wordlessly helped, picking through the change in the palms of their hands, making sure the tips were split correctly. While I was waiting for Zolly, the Ross household's useful man, to collect me, I noticed two wild-eyed and despairing boys barely sitting upright on a bench beside the station, shocked, blistered, and muttering, aged into very old men by the mustard gas that had fallen on them like rain in Flanders. Tall and thin, with hair that was going to gray at the temples, Zolly appeared to be between 35 and 40. He was gotten up like the head waiter at the Ritz, and before we left he reached behind him and exchanged his hat for a sporty khaki driving cap for the mile or so ride home. He said